Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Romford Salvation Army and our morning worship. Thank you to the band and songsters for the music before the meeting, and a special thank you for the reminder that Jesus came to give us life in all its fullness. Had you realised that it's now 6 months since we've been able to worship here in the hall together? But we're still able to worship even though we are in our various homes, and we're still able to serve God wherever we are. We want to start this morning's worship by praising God, by thanking him for all he does for us. And so we're going to sing together with the worship band 10,000 Reasons. And after that, the virtual choir have a new song of praise, and they're going to sing for us Shackles.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul.
Thanks to the virtual choir for that great song, and thanks too to Stefan who put it all together. A couple of verses now from the Bible, both from the book of Acts. Firstly, Acts chapter 1 verse 8, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And then Acts chapter 9 and verse 15. "The Lord said to Ananias, 'Go, this man, Paul, is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel.'" Amen. Now we're going to move into a quieter time, and we're going to start by listening to the singing company sing "Light of the World." Then Jude Marshall will lead us in our prayers, and then we'll have a vocal solo from Jamie Brown called "You Will Be Found," which is from the musical Dear Evan Hansen.
Thank you. tomorrow is a bank holiday. In a normal year, many people would be looking forward to tomorrow as a day to do something with friends or family. Yet this time around, most of us will not notice the date tomorrow, as it just rolls into another week of what I now refer to as Groundhog Day. But today, I want us to think about the people who are going to suddenly over the next few weeks find themselves in a new routine. On Tuesday, our charity shop reopens. Lord, we pray for protection over everyone who is preparing to give up their time to support our charity shop. We pray for everyone who will walk through the door and all their different situations. During this week, all parents of school-aged children will be busy sorting and ironing uniforms, and possibly having to do a stressful run to the shops when they realise that those shoes that were too big are suddenly very snug. Lord, we bring the parents to you just now. Thank you that we are coming out of this period of educating from home. We ask for peace as we consider how schools will be for our children. Give us the words that our children need to hear over this coming week. And we take a moment now to pray for everyone returning to work in our schools. We have too many to name, but just bring someone to your mind right now. Lord, bless all our friends and family members as they return to their school buildings after working from home. We pray for each pupil that they will be coming into contact with in the coming weeks. Give them the words they need to reassure and calm the pupils and their carers. Give them the strength and energy needed to face the changes head on. We pray for protection over all those working with children. We know they always put the children before themselves, so we ask you to surround them with your protection and love. And finally, our wonderful children, who are such a big part of our church, are going to be facing big changes next week. This week coming, they will be asking questions about what their class and school will be like. What will be for lunch, of course, probably top up the list. Lord, we bring our children to you just now. Give them peaceful sleep as the start of school draws closer. For those changing schools and those off to college and university, we pray that they will settle quickly and feel you close to them. Lord, we bring our children to you just now. Bless them, protect them, and hold them close. Bring these people before God just now, and all those that you know personally who will also be facing a change of daily life over these coming days and weeks.
Mighty hands are guiding me to protect me from what I can't see. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. Somebody's praying for me. Somebody's praying for me.
Have you ever felt like nobody was there? Have you ever felt forgotten in the middle of nowhere? Have you ever felt like you could disappear? Like you could fall and no one would hear? Well, let that lonely feeling wash away. Maybe there's a reason to believe you'll be okay. 'Cause when you don't feel strong enough to stand, you can reach out your hand. And oh, someone will come running, and I know they'll take you home. Even when the dark comes crashing through, and you need a friend to carry you, and you're broken on the ground, you will be found. So let the sun come streaming in, 'cause you'll reach up and rise again. If you'd only look around, you will be found. 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 There's a place where you don't have to feel unknown. Every time that you call out, you're a little less alone. If you only say the word, from across the silence, your voice is heard. Even when the dark comes crashing through, and you need a friend to carry you, and you're broken on the ground, you will be found. So let the sun come streaming in, 'cause you'll reach up and you'll rise again. If you only look around, you will be found. You will be found. The shadows, the morning is breaking, and all is new, all is new. It's filling up the empty, and suddenly I see that all is new, all is new. You are not alone, you are not alone, you are not alone, you are not alone. Crashing through, and you need a friend to carry you. When you're broken on the ground, you will be found. 'Cause you'll reach up and you'll rise again. If you only look around, you will be found.
Thank you, Jamie, for that beautiful and moving song, You Will Be Found. Those words remind me of the parable of the lost sheep, where Jesus says, suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbours together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. If ever you feel lost, know that God is out there looking for you and wants to bring you home. Now, in the last few weeks, we've been hearing a little bit about what the children have been doing in their kids' online holiday club. And now we're going to watch a video of all the activities they've been doing over the last 5 weeks, the songs they've sung, the games they've played, and the crafts. And you'll see pictures of the children and the adults. We want to say thank you to all the children's team for all their hard work, and especially to Claire and Pete and Ella and Ollie. Watch the video now.
Good morning. As we've been saying in the last couple of weeks, our charity shop will reopen next Tuesday, the 1st of September. We really need this to be as successful as possible, as we've obviously been without the income from the shop for the last few months. So, we need you to be customers. The shop has a new layout and is spacious and COVID safe. There are lots of bargains to be had, so pop along. Tuesday to Saturday, 10 until 4 p.m. We also still need some people to be greeters at the door. This is just for the mornings, 10 until 1:30. If you can do any sessions, particularly in the next couple of weeks, please let me or Julia know as soon as possible. This will be a great support for our team of volunteers and staff who've been working so hard at the shop. Thank you. And happy birthday to Hannah, who celebrated being 16 on Monday. Happy birthday, Hannah.
As you heard, our charity shop is going to open on September the 1st. That's this Tuesday. In a moment, I'm going to show you a little video inside the shop. Please come along and support. It is, after all, our shop, and the more people that go there, the better. Lots of people have been asking when we can return to worship at the hall. We have put a proposal into divisional headquarters, and as soon as we hear back, we'll be letting you know what they've said. Now, as promised, a look round the shop. Second Bible reading this morning comes from chapters 23 to 26 of the Acts of the Apostles. It's just selected verses, and it tries to give you a flavour of what was happening to Paul. Paul was seized by the Jews and they were about to kill him, but the Roman commander came with his troops and rescued him, for he had learned that he was a Roman citizen. He wanted to know why they were accusing him, so he brought him to the Sanhedrin. When he was informed of a plot to be carried out against Paul, he sent him to the governor at once. So the soldiers, carrying out their orders, took Paul with them during the night and brought him to Caesarea. They delivered Paul over to the governor. The governor ordered that Paul be kept under guard in Herod's palace. When 2 years had passed, Felix was succeeded by Festus. He left Paul in prison. Festus, wishing to do the Jews a favour, said to Paul, "Are you willing to go up to Jerusalem and stand trial before me on these charges?" Paul answered, "I am now standing before Caesar's court, where I ought to be tried. I have not done any wrong to the Jews, as you yourself know very well. I appeal to Caesar." After Festus had conferred with his council, he declared, "You have appealed to Caesar. To Caesar you will go." A few days later, King Agrippa and Bernice arrived at Caesarea to pay their respects to Festus. Since they were spending many days there, Festus discussed Paul's case with the king. Then Agrippa said to Paul, "Do you think that in such a short time you can persuade me to be a Christian?" Paul replied, "Short time or long, I pray to God that not only you, but all who are listening to me today may become what I am, except for these chains." The king rose, and with him the governor and Bernice and those sitting with them. After they left the room, they began saying to one another, This man is not doing anything that deserves death or imprisonment. Agrippa said to Festus, this man could have been set free if he had not appealed to Caesar. Amen. Can you believe it? It's been 6 months since we've been able to meet for worship down at the hall. For some people, that seems like a very long time, even a prison sentence. Some of us have been locked up or locked in for most of that time. Can you imagine what it must be like to be locked up in prison? Well, Paul ends up in prison for over 2 years, but we'll get to that in a moment. Paul, who we've been looking at over the last few weeks, has always been in trouble, right from the very beginning when he was converted on the road to Damascus. He was taken in by Ananias, and then he had to escape from Damascus over the wall in a basket, if you remember. He comes back to Jerusalem, and the believers in Jerusalem, they don't believe him. They don't think he's changed, and he then has to escape because there's so much trouble in Jerusalem. And over the last few weeks, we've been looking at his missionary journeys. Everywhere he goes, he causes problems, he causes trouble, but he tries to tell people about Jesus. Now we're at a point where Paul thinks it's the right time to return to Jerusalem. His disciples don't want him to go because they know there's going to be problems for him if he goes back. And a prophet called Agabus actually grabs Paul's belt, ties his own hands and feet together with Paul's belt and says, look, this is what will happen to you if you go back to Jerusalem. Paul can't be dissuaded, and he eventually ends up in Jerusalem. And he's talking in the temple, and sure enough, there's a riot. People accuse him of being anti-Jewish. They accuse him of being anti-Moses. They accuse him of being anti-temple. And this riot is so loud that the temple guards lock the doors, and eventually the Romans turn up, and they mistakenly think that Paul is an Egyptian terrorist. And so they arrest him, and they double chain him up. They chain him up by his hands and his feet, and they take him away. They then realize their mistake just in time for Paul, who's about to be flogged. And Paul says he is indeed a Roman citizen. And so the guard decides that he can't be kept here in Jerusalem. It's too dangerous. They're going to take him to Caesarea, to the king's palace, where there's a governor called Felix. And they take him to Felix, the governor, and Felix locks him up in a prison cell for 2 years. We think that probably Paul had a bit of freedom whilst he was in prison. We think maybe that his friends could come and bring him meals and look after him. And we think as well that he probably spent a lot of time in studying and in writing. Well, after 2 years, Felix's time of being the governor comes to an end, and a new governor comes in, and his name is Festus. And Festus looks at Paul and decides he's going to keep him in prison. He's going to listen to him, and offers Paul the opportunity to return to Jerusalem and to be tried in Jerusalem by the Jewish accusers. Paul says, no, I am not going back to Jerusalem. I have claimed my Roman citizenship. I want to stand before Caesar. And Festus says, okay, if you want to stand before Caesar, that's what's going to happen. You'll have to return eventually to Rome and face court there. Now, while Paul is in Caesarea, Festus receives a visitor. The visitor's name is Agrippa. Agrippa is a king. He has been appointed by Caesar as king of that area, and he arrives with his sister, Bernice. And because they're staying for a little while, Festus says to them, why don't you come and listen to this chap, Paul? It's a very interesting case. And so Agrippa and Bernice and Festus bring Paul before them, and Paul is able to speak to them. And Paul gives his testimony, tells his life story from the very beginning, through his conversion, through what he's been doing. And he appeals particularly to Agrippa and says to Agrippa, you're somebody who understands the Jewish faith. You understand where I'm coming from. And Agrippa looks at Paul, and this is a really great bit. I love this bit. He looks at Paul and he says to Paul, are you trying to persuade me to become a Christian? And Paul more or less says, well, yes, I am. He says, I don't mind how long it takes, I just pray that you and everybody listening may become as I am, apart from these chains, obviously. And Agrippa says to Festus afterwards, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with this guy. There's certainly no reason for him to be killed. If he hadn't appealed to go to Caesar, if he hadn't appealed to go to Rome, he could be set free. Well, the story continues and Paul ends up going to Rome and there's a shipwreck and all kinds of things happen to him on his way to Rome. And then we end the book of Acts in chapter 28 with Paul actually being in another prison, another open prison, writing letters and telling everybody he can about Jesus. It's a great story. It's really exciting. I recommend you read the chapters through. But what does it say to us today? What is the point of us studying the book of Acts, looking at Paul, unless it can say something to us about what it means to be a Christian in the 21st century, what it means to be a Christian in Romford today in 2020, in this postmodern, COVID-confused world in which we find ourselves? Well, it helps us, I think, to put our feet firmly on solid ground, to return to the very basis of our belief, our faith, and that is what holds true. Not what really, but who holds true. And it's Jesus. He is the center and the crux of everything. Paul met Jesus, and because of that, he spent the rest of his life trying to persuade people that Jesus is the Messiah. Paul's message was that salvation, holistic healing, actualization, purpose, truth, the meaning of life is found in Jesus. He speaks to Jews, to Gentiles, to Greeks, to women, to Romans, to soldiers, to governors, and even to a king, and tries to persuade them all to believe in Jesus. Paul is in the soul-saving business, if you like. And that brings us to our Salvation Army mission statement, to save souls, to grow saints, and to serve suffering humanity. Paul certainly spent all of his life trying to save souls, to persuade people to become Christians. He also trained his disciples, and he also encouraged all the churches that he visited and all the letters he wrote. In many ways, he spent his time growing the saints. What we don't see Paul doing is setting up food banks or hospitals, but he does do quite a bit of prison visitation, albeit mostly against his will. He makes his living making tents, and he goes about living his life as fully as he possibly can. Our part of the Salvation Army's mission to save souls, grow saints, and to serve suffering humanity is about us taking every opportunity to give our testimony, to tell others about Jesus, and to try and persuade them to become Christians. We have to train and to learn with each other and with ourselves. We have to try and grow saints to become more like Jesus. And that helps us as we live our lives to the full, serving our community, our neighbours, our family, living out our Christian experience, not just by programmes. I mean, they're really important, and these schemes and the things that we do as a Salvation Army are really important. But in our everyday existence, in the way that we live our lives, we have to try and persuade people to become Christians. The Roman governor Felix was well acquainted with the way, so says the Bible. He wasn't a Christian, but he knew all about the way. Our society is full of people who are well acquainted with Christianity, who know about the church. They're not Christians, but they think they know everything that we have to say. And sometimes, sadly, they get it wrong. Not everyone that Paul spoke to was persuaded to become a Christian. In fact, in this story, it doesn't appear that Festus, Felix, or Agrippa became Christians because of Paul's attempt to persuade them. But many did. Many did become Christians. I really love that line that Paul says when Agrippa says, "Are you trying to persuade me to become a Christian?" I pray God that you and everybody listening may become what I am, except for these chains. Paul was so convinced of the truth of Jesus that he wanted everyone else to be convinced too. Are we so convinced about Jesus that we want people to be like us? We should seek to persuade others by our lives and our words. It might make us unpopular. It might make us some enemies, but that shouldn't worry us. It happened to Jesus. It happened to the prophets before him and to his disciples after him. In these confusing days, let us remind ourselves that who matters most is Jesus. Let's rededicate our lives to him and to his service. Let's try to persuade others to become Christians too, and live our lives fully, the life God has given us to bless our community and the world. Let's pray. Father God, we want to say thank you for the example of Paul that we read about in the book of Acts. We want to ask you to help us to try and persuade others to believe in Jesus, to become Christians. Help us to live out fully the life you have given to us, that we might serve our community, our friends and our families in the best way that we can. May we be the church you need us to be, you want us to be, in the 21st century, here where we live right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Take a few moments now to reflect on what we've thought about today as we listen to the band playing People Need the Lord. And then our closing song is a song based upon the Corps' vision statement, Father, Lead Us.
Thank you for joining us in worship today. We hope you have been blessed and challenged by God. Thank you to everyone who has taken part. And now for our benediction. As people of faith, we have gathered for worship. As people of faith, we now return to the world. As you go out to give a living witness, as you go out to testify to God's love active in the world, go knowing that God goes with you, sharing the laughter and the hope, the fears and the tears. Thanks be to God. Amen. Thank you.